You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fat to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Obesity Revolution podcast. You know who I am? Yes, I'm going to tell you. Ready? I am Sean Mulroney. That's right. I am Sean Mulroney. You follow me on all my social media at I am Sean Mulroney. Go to theobesityrevolution.com. You get all that information. We got some great things, new things getting ready to come out. And even I'm going to give you a little taste. My book's getting ready, just about ready to drop here soon with some other things. So you don't want to miss that. I mean, you don't. It's just awesome. I mean, we're excited. You know, we got the Obesity Revolution support group that you can come to. It's free, absolutely no charge. You can get the support that you need, as well as the VIP. And we got a bunch of other things, and it's all about, you know, the tools and the resources, the education. And you know, the Obesity Revolution podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Revolution. And here's our purpose. We want to make sure we identify the problems. We want to make sure you educate. And education is key. It's vital. We want to inspire, and then we want to execute. So we're going to do that, and we are going to do it full bore. This episode, the last episode gave you a little precursor of what we have coming down the pike. And I don't want to do that without bringing in Carrie Mooney, my assistant, our back end, everything she does, our back end. Man, that's pretty bad, Carrie. That's our rear end.
Our butt.
There we go.
I'm behind the scenes.
Yeah, she's behind the scenes, right? Yeah. She's not our behind. She's a, you know, that's all.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. It's not it.
I'm telling Jess on you. You called me a butt.
She's gonna get mad. Please don't, you know, because she takes your side over my side all the time. That's my girl. Yeah,
that's my girl.
We need to stay, you know, girls and, you know, girls roll, boys drool. That's right. But, Carrie, you know, well, you do everything. I mean, you do the customer, you know, support.
I get to love on the customers, and that's really awesome.
It is. You make people feel great, and that's your gift. Aww. I mean, you do.
That's,
I mean,
how
many
I shine,
people
yeah.
that come and they're there, or, you know, they don't know what to do, and then all of a sudden Carrie comes in and makes them feel warm and fuzzy, right, Carrie?
Yeah, I do. That's my goal.
Yes.
Because like you've said before, you know, validating people is so important. And, you know, to anybody else, it might not be a big deal. But if one little thing doesn't work for you, especially when you're stressed to the max,
yes.
just have somebody sit and listen to you.
That's it.
Can make all the difference. And that's what I do.
Because
everybody
simple.
Is important.
And how simple is that, Carrie? I mean,
I
think
know,
about
just
it.
Just to
like
stop.
Nobody, you
and
know,
just
and
listen.
Say, listen, here's what's going yeah. on. And then all of a sudden they feel like, you know, and I know that. Taking time, you know, to think and listen to somebody, you know, yeah. does somebody a world of good. You're like, you know, how many times people come back and say, man, thank you for what?
Yeah.
You know, for just listening. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, you listened to me, you know, and it's like I got it off my chest and, you know, anybody can listen, you know, to that.
I love it when I get people who start a very gruff and ready for a fight. And by the time we're done, it's, I love you. And I'm like, I love you too.
Yeah, you turn from a hater
awesome.
To a lover. It's like, here
I
it is.
Do.
It's or somebody
great.
That's mean. I mean,
I love so, that. That and, is like the best feeling.
And you know, the best feeling is the customer service. I don't care what anybody says. You know, it's not about the whatchamacallit, the product that we sell.
No.
It's about the problem that we solve.
And the lives that we change.
And the lives that we change. And
absolutely.
You think about it, that people that come in, if they're not getting a customer experience that they don't feel like that they're
matter.
Getting, that they matter and that they're
yeah.
getting what they're paying for, they're
right.
not going to want to come back. Why should they?
No.
Right?
They're treated like a wallet.
Well, we'll speak about that. Not only that, but how about in the obese community? We're already being treated poor.
Yeah.
And, you know, number one, they can't see whenever they're talking to a customer. Nobody knows that. But if an obese person is talking to a customer service, you know, person, and then they're getting treated bad, we already have, you know, a complex about us anyways. And then
because of our filters of where our life map took us. Absolutely.
Exactly. And it doesn't, like I said, it's just like, here's the thing. I am by no means saying, okay, become a victim. You know, I want us to become victors. Right. And that's what the obesity revolution is about. It's a revolution to change the effective way to create awareness, to kill the assumptions, and to give us the tools and the resources that we need to do to get acclimated to society, to get acclimated to everybody, what everybody's telling us, Carrie. If I've had a penny for every time somebody says, well, you know, you really need to lose weight, I would be rich.
Yeah.
Well, I know that. Well, guess what? Well, then do I have to do it in my house? They want us to lose weight, but they don't want to watch us lose weight.
Right.
So
how many people are obese worldwide? We looked this up at one point.
About 650 million people worldwide. Okay.
Okay.
So that, and that's probably, it's going to be a billion, you know, in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And so anyways, in America, you know, we have about 100 million people in the United States. Okay.
Yeah.
90 90 and 100 million. And then 30% of those are extreme obese, or what they call morbidly obese,
morbidly,
that never come out, and they never come out of their home because they can't
or they won't. Right.
Correct. Correct. So that's how many people in the United States. Yes.
Do you know what are the states in the U.S. with the closest population to 300 million people?
30 million?
Excuse me, 30 million people? That's the state of Texas.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That would be like nobody in the state of Texas leaving their home.
See.
Could you just imagine?
Well, that you know, putting that in perspective, we gave people a taste on that. I want to expound on that a little bit. Think about this. You know, I've been to Texas a lot of times.
Me too. I love
there. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of the biggest state. I mean, I don't know. Is California bigger than Texas? I'm not real sure, but I think that Texas is the biggest, you know, if not the biggest. Okay. It's at least in a top, you know, three or whatever. Okay.
Right.
So think about that. Where Texas is considered. And then you put that, you said that about, that's the state that everybody in Texas, you know, of course, you think about whenever they had that, you know, that snowstorm. I mean, they put Texas out, right? I mean, it was like they didn't know how to take it and didn't know how to deal with it because that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it that we go into Texas and everybody is bedfast or homebound because of obesity. Every person, I'm talking Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, you're talking Houston, you know, you're talking that's pretty that's a lot of people, Carrie. I mean,
it'd be like a ghost town. Can you imagine?
I'm
walking through Texas and nobody's out.
That's
creepy. It's an episode of The Walking Dead.
My goodness, isn't it? I mean, it's like, you know, and that's scary. And that's what's happening. You think about why 30 million people are that. Now think about this. Are we intentionally excluded?
Absolutely.
You know,
I think we are.
Okay. And were we merely overlooked? I mean, I feel that we are. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, some would argue that, you know, the answer to these questions is, you know, people say, well, no, I believe it's a resounding yes. Right. Carrie, would you, you say that? And it's just bad.
I agree.
It's just bad because I think
people are noticed, but they aren't considered.
Well, we're noticed because of our size.
Right. I mean, all of us, when we were in school back then, you always knew who the fat, I still remember who the fat kids were in school.
Right.
And I'm 50 something years old. I remember.
Right. And the fat kid for all ever the fat kid, it was all right to pick on the fat kid. It's all right to get bullied, to bully the fat kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I never did, but yes, no, you're right.
But no, yeah, well, but there's people that think it's okay because, oh man, you let yourself get that way.
Right.
Never thinking, wait a minute, there's something wrong. How could a, you know, a 6, 7, 8 year old have that much weight? Yeah, they're eating, but their body, that should be a thought that there's something going on.
Right.
With the person that their metabolism should be at an all high. Everything should be working, but that doesn't tell us that there's something. Oh no, that's just an excuse. You know, right. You don't, and then doctors, they don't spend anything on it. You know, in college, you know, all the way down, you know, to where it's, you know, you think about it. Where in the world do we fit? Where do we fit, Carrie? I mean, I don't fit in as far as, you know, I'm not talking just about crowds, but where do we go? Where do we go to get, you know, the proper treatment that we need? You know, because, right. You know, nearly every other deficiency. And don't worry about the dogs. My dogs are nuts. They come anywhere. So that's
love
Oscar. And me too. And whenever they're sleeping, but that's Oscar and Lulu. They bark at, you know, a stinking
butterfly
fart. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. But needless to say, nearly every other deficiency is accommodated in one way or in another. And so those that are afflicted don't feel excluded, with the exception of the obese community. Okay.
Yeah.
Carrie, I agree. Fires me. It fires me up, and I am fed up with it. Okay. I mean, I'm fed up that there's not the proper treatment that are given and the proper type of things that can help a person like me out of this situation to where we're there, we're looking at the outside, we're doing this, we're, you know, all the way down to the furniture, you know, that is built, and it doesn't, you know, come, you know, to where, okay, they don't consider it, and they're not putting, you know, hey, let's test this out with a true obese person. They're just making it to where, okay, well let's just do it a little bit. Let's go, and then let's up the price and jack the price up and make a killing money because we know that
I believe it's two words. Blame.
What's that? Yeah.
And punishment. They blame you, you know, and blaming you and shaming you. Wow. And then they blame you and shame you.
That's
anybody
good.
Who is obese, regardless of the reason for the obesity. And we'll get into all the combinations and reasons for obesity. And then it's punishment.
It is punishment.
Well, if you weren't so big, you wouldn't have to pay the extra price for this, and you wouldn't have to pay the extra.
That's right.
So blaming and shaming, and then continual punishment again and again.
Well, you say about punishment. Think about it. A person with a metabolism of a hummingbird, right? You got to, you know, hit the genetic jackpot with that metabolism, right?
That would be my sister.
Right. Well, even think about that. You know, you're praised. Oh, man, look at him eat. Look at her, you know, eat, man. She could eat whatever she wants to and never gain a pound.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so they're praised. Well, then a person like me who has the metabolism of an elephant, then what we do is we're punished for that.
Or you're judged. Tell the McDonald's story.
Which one was that? I'm sorry, Carrie.
You went to McDonald's and you got just a little something like one of those wraps or whatever.
Oh,
and Jessica.
Jess and I, after my workout, this is whenever I started going to the gym. Okay. With working out with Brandon. So I went there and Brandon told me, he goes, I want you to eat something with some sugar in it right after your workout. Okay.
Right.
Like some, you know, barbecue sauce, you know, whatever.
Something protein-y with some sugar. Yep.
Okay. So, you know what I did is I went to McDonald's, and because right there, okay, to get a chicken wrap with honey mustard. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, Jess, she ordered, you know, a quarter pounder. Right. And think about this. They were looking at me. Do you know who they thought was going to eat that quarter pounder? Me. They kept on staring and looking at me, not knowing that I came from the gym,
right.
Not knowing that I'm trying to make my life better. But yep. The fact is, they said that fat man, he didn't order the chicken wrap. It was the woman beside him that isn't, you know, as fat as him, because, you know, people just like to come around me anyways because I make them feel skinny. You know what I'm saying? So and that's why Jess said that's why she's married to me, because it makes her feel like she's, you know, like she's, oh, man, I'm fit. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, but she's not, because I got strength and she doesn't. But, you know, she, who says she doesn't get her exercise by having to take care of me? So. But no, that's what they did, is that I went through the McDonald's in any time. Oh man, that did, you know, here it is. Or they're automatically, man, here comes the fat guy. He's going to order four Big Macs.
Let's watch him eat.
Well, you know why? Because that's what the world perceives us as, because of all these television shows that they put there, and they stage it, and they put, you know, this fat person that can't do anything for themselves. Well, not even that. The producers will make them bring the food into them. And who orders that food? Why are they talking about it? Why should they have to show that every fat person eats 10,000 calories a day? And the thing is that my worst, I never ate 10,000 calories a day.
No.
I mean, I ate bad. Don't get me wrong. I didn't get here by breathing air and drinking water. Right. I got here by eating, you know, stuff that I shouldn't drink. I drank my calories. That's what I did. I could drink, you know, Pepsi. I mean, like nobody's business. And
you could drink like a couple of 2 liters in a day?
I could drink a 2 liter a couple of sittings. A couple of sittings.
Wow.
You know, and that's what I did, is that I didn't drink water. I never drank water.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Okay, but here's the thing. My thing is, though, is on the other perspective, is just because you look healthy doesn't mean you are healthy.
That is so true.
You know, I don't care what anybody says, is that they'll never come to a person that says, okay, I'm coming up here, here's a fat person, here's a skinny person. What do you do? You have the numbers, and you say you get your numbers, your blood work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the blood pressure, your A1C, you know, your cholesterol. And if the cholesterol is bad on one report and the other one is a good report, and two people were walking in, say, okay, the doctor's looking at these two people walking in, and then he's looking at their reports, and the one report's bad and the one report's good. Who's he going to think of, the healthy-looking one that's going to have the good numbers, or the fat person's going to have the bad numbers?
That's right. And let me tell you, your blood pressure is better than mine. It is your A1C is better than mine.
My blood work that I got this last year, 5.1.
I'm at a 5.9.
5.9, but yours was up from some, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that whenever you get to that point, even to that extent, to where, you know, my blood pressure, you know, my cholesterol, you know, my cholesterol is better than Jess's.
Yeah, it's better than mine too.
And the thing is, though, is that I have lymphedema, but listen to me. All that I want is for people to give us a fair hand to say, wait a minute, let me just listen to you. And what I've come up with, Gary, you know, this is the look, listen, and learn principle, okay?
Yeah.
I want them to look at the problem, listen to the person, and then learn about our patterns. That's what I want. Look, listen, and learn. Please, Doc, would you look at this problem? The problem's big, right? And here, would you listen to the person? Here I am right now. Listen to what I have to say. Oh, you don't eat that. You're eating bad. You're eating this way. Wait a minute. Have I done that? Yes. But see, I say this all the time, is my worst day now is my best day 5-10 years ago. Okay.
Right.
Now I want that in 5 years. I want to be able to say 5 years from now that my worst day now is my best day 5 years ago. And keep going on with that. I don't want to just stay stagnant in that. But the fact is that I want doctors to give us, I want anybody, the health and fitness industry, I want society to say, wait a minute, there's more. That, because you know what, Carrie, my fat has a story.
Right.
My fat has a story.
Let's give people some of the reasons for obesity.
Yes, please.
And these are just some of the reasons. And I'm just going to, if it's okay with you, I'm just going to rattle it off.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes, let's do it.
Here's the biggest one. Ready?
Okay, go.
A childhood that we are still trying to recover from.
Mm.
Hello?
Wow.
Diabetes, lymphedema, chronic pain that prevents exercise, a hypoactive thyroid, which means your thyroid is pretty much shut down.
Yes, yes.
Hormonal imbalances, emotional conflicts, medication, a slow digestive system or a slow metabolism, stress.
Stress.
Insulin resistance.
Insulin resistance.
Dehydration, hypertension. Poor dietary choices, lack of education, Cushing's syndrome, electrolyte imbalance. And it isn't usually just one reason. It's a crippling combination of any of these and more. I mean, this is just a small list.
Yes, yes, I agree. That is. And that, and like I said, it people don't want to talk about that. Is that okay? They'll say to us that we're using it as an excuse.
Excuse, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, your childhood trauma, which I have had. Okay. Yep. And the thing is, Carrie, I was just thinking of this morning, I'm writing out a declaration of people that I'm not going to have in my life. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody like my stepfather in my life. Okay.
Yep.
My stepfather was, you know, he's a great provider. I love them dearly, but I got treated mentally and, you know, verbally abusive. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's been on me for all these years. Okay.
Yeah.
And people say, well, it set, I mean, especially when you felt he had no place and I didn't feel I fit in my home. I didn't feel like that was my home.
Can I just jump in for a second? A lot of people think, oh, it was your childhood. Get over it. When you were little.
No.
And you are learning about life, the situations that you are forced to endure, they create what's called a hard wire in your brain.
Yes.
And once you are hardwired to be treated a certain way or to react a certain way, it's incredibly difficult to stop that hardwiring and relearn pathways. So for anybody who says, oh, stop using your childhood as an excuse, it's very, very difficult to reverse a hard wire without a lot of education, medical intervention, whether it be psychological or medication or counseling or a combination of all of these things.
Right, which that's the thing. And there's not them resources is that whenever you get to that point, then you self-medicate, which that's what I did.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I got
coping.
I did, but even my sexual abuse, you know, being molested as a young kid, I'm going to tell you what, that changes your whole DNA.
Yes, it does.
It changes everything about you. And, you know, I'm speaking to this because there's people out there that aren't, you know, we're shot down. Like, okay, wait, nobody has the right to ever say to somebody, get over it.
Right.
It's not their way to say that is that. Oh, man, well, just because you didn't go through it doesn't mean that you can tell somebody that it's, I wouldn't, you know, go through it that way. No, it changes everything to where if you have that to where, you know, people are still doing that, still bitter. And I know people right now that they, you know, are victims of society that they can't even function because of the things that happened because they never dealt with it or were never able to talk with it or never get the proper help and treatment to get them to
a
point.
To be validated
and
told that it wasn't their fault.
Exactly. And it's no kidding. Listen to me. You've been sexually abused. You've been, you know, abused by a parent. You've been neglected by a parent. That it wasn't your fault.
That's right.
You know, and that's what we do is we blame ourselves. You are worthy.
And it's their fault, not yours.
Ever. And think about it, Carrie. You can speak to that. You don't get into it a whole lot, but you've had some things happen in your past that brought you to where you're at. Which
by
you said,
multiple family members, multiple male family members.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I
you
know.
Said, you know what? And you do for your girls is you said, okay, I am going to put a stop to this. That you broke the curse because. You made sure of it, and you were like, okay, here's where it's at, to where you're not
going to – I am the protector.
Exactly.
Of any kid.
Yes.
I will kill for any kid or die for any kid.
Because of what we've been
That's
through.
That's exactly
and
right.
I'm the same way.
I am the
way.
Protector. I am the mama bear. Vicious.
I cannot stand
– I know. You're the same way.
People that abuse children. There's no – I can't –
In any way.
I don't care. Anyway, verbally, you know, mentally – you know, right. whatever. I don't get it. I cringe.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? And it just takes it to a whole other level. But me is that, you know, you stand up and that's what I'm thankful. You know, my mom did the best, you know, my dad dying when I was six was crippling.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really understand it at 6 years of age. I knew he died.
That was traumatic. I could not imagine.
Because I was close to my dad.
I know.
You know, for them 6 years, I went to work with him. My dad was a welder, had his own, you know, welding company. I used to go to work with him. Yeah. And, you know, went on vacations, you know, and it was just like, okay, I remember that happening and it just being, you know, taking me down a path that I wish it would have never taken me. And it totally ruined my whole, you know.
Well, and when you have that kind of love, like that you and your dad shared.
Yes.
When that love is taken away from you and ripped away because your father passed away, you suddenly don't know where you fit in the world.
No, I did. And Carrie, that's what I did is I didn't know where I fit
in. So you tried to figure it out.
Yes. And I thought I tried to fit in places that I didn't fit in.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I did that. And I went all the way down and went low. And then what I would do is that, you know, I created excuses. I became, you know, a liar, an obsessive liar, because I thought I had to validate myself.
Yeah.
I thought I had to, you know, talk about, you know, things or that I did things or accomplishments because I was this way. And
you're trying to impress people.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what, Carrie? That did me no good.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even, you know, do it. And I hate lying.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was so much a part of, you know, what I did, you know, to cover that up and then mask and then, you know, to where you're doing all this. And it just, it's so many things that go into it. The complexity of obesity, it brought me here because it was never my goal to say, man, I'm going to be 687 pounds.
Right. Right.
Whenever I was a kid, that was never my thing. And to be in this situation, to be trapped, you know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, I'm looking at this, Carrie. Here's the thing. And I know there's other people out there right now. If you're out there, listen to me. I get it. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to the fact of where, you know, it's like I'm going like 10 steps forward, 20 steps back.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in right now, Carrie. I have this sore. Okay. I got this sore that on the back of my leg. I mean, I've never had this kind of sore and it hurts. It's like, okay, here it is. I'm working on my mobility. I'm working on this. My lymphedema, you know, is out of hand, you know, doing what I need to do, you know, fighting to get that. I mean, I'm in lymphedema treatment. I got, you know, occupational therapy. I got physical therapy coming in, you know, helping me to get my mobility. And, you know, the pandemic, let alone, you know, the pandemic and, you know, the shutdown and, you know, the, you know, was just a little glimpse of what obese people go through all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You know. People are ready to climb the walls. It's exactly. Like, can you imagine if this was your life?
That, and you people? Know what? This is life.
Right.
And I remember I was sharing
for
with you.
A lot
you
of
and
people
Noah,
who are shut-ins.
That's right.
There was no difference.
It was no difference.
But you're watching people. I'm sorry, but you're watching people freak the hell out. It's like, hello.
That's right. And the thing is, and here's where it is that I shared a little bit with you and Noah yesterday. Hmm. I said, you know what? Here's where it's at. I said, this is me. You know, everybody's like, okay, I want to get to this point. I want to get to this point. And not even comparing. I am I'm loving life.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because it's about perspective. Okay. And you have the wrong perspective and you don't know. And then you start, don't get your mind in shape and then don't learn how to self love yourself, that you loathe yourself.
Or it's going to even validate yourself.
Yes.
Your needs.
Well, here's the thing. You have to validate yourself before anybody else is going to validate you.
That is absolutely true.
And until I validated myself.
You can't look to somebody else to do that for you.
You can't.
You have to do it.
You can't.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. What if you don't have support? And you know what? Anybody that is out there listening to us right now, that you hate yourself, you're so disgusted by, you know, the scale, you're disgusted about how big you've gotten. you know what? Here's what you got to do. You got to love yourself. You got to say, listen, this is my mind. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm going to do. And this is where I'm going to go and get and seek help and forget about everybody else. Find out what you have to peel back, what you have to unpack, what you have to say, okay, here I am. And how am I going to determine this to get what I need in a way I need to go so that I don't go down a bad path?
Yeah. And if a person can't get, you know, to the point where they can look in the mirror and go, I love you, how about just start, allow yourself to respect yourself. Respect yourself as much as you respect your favorite person.
That's right. That and you know what, Carrie? That's a hard thing to do.
It is hard.
And it's easier said
than done. Because you wouldn't let anybody treat your kids like that.
You wouldn't let anybody treat somebody you love that way.
Or your husband.
You wouldn't. And that's the thing. We're our biggest, you know, I'm my biggest critic.
Me too.
You know, I bully myself.
But we have to be our biggest advocate.
Hence, and I agree. We have to be. If we're not, Carrie, nobody else will be.
That's right.
So I have to make sure that validation that we don't get because the medical industry, and this is what fires me up. Listen to me. I've been mistreated by doctors, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they just assume, okay, automatically assume, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to lose. And if
you're eating a dozen eggs a day and half a pound of bacon for breakfast.
Everything, right. 10,000 calories. And even, listen to me, there was a doctor that was treated. I was in the hospital. First time I was ever in the hospital was 2004, okay?
Okay.
And that was because I had an allergic reaction to Cipro. And I was on it because of, you know, my cellulitis.
Well, so explain what Cipro is. Some people might not know.
Cipro is an antibiotic. It's a sulfa-based antibiotic is what it is.
And you found out you were allergic.
I was allergic, yes. So it put me – I started getting blisters. And my leg where I have my lymphedema or Herbie,
Herbie.
Started turning – yeah, Herbie. He's living on me for rent-free for all these years. Well, anyways, what happened is it turned black and, you know, because it wasn't healing. And Jess was really concerned about it and said, you know, here, you know, we got to do something. So she called somebody that was a nurse and asked, you know, hey, what about, you know, this? And she said, you need to get to the hospital right away.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I did. And then my feet were so swollen. And what they said was after it was all said and done, I would walk and the blisters would burst. Okay.
Oh,
I mean, literally they would just, every time I would walk, the blisters would burst and I couldn't put shoes on.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I went to the doctor. The doctor said, you need to go to the emergency room. I went to the emergency room. They admitted me and I go there and the infectious disease doctor was there and said, hey, you know, you got Stevens-Johnson syndrome. Because he looked at my back of my throat. It was going into my mucous membrane. And
then was this like a slow anaphylaxis? Is that happening?
Well, Stevens-Johnson attacks your everything about you. It goes into your mucous membrane and starts shutting your whole system down. So
it's
worse than anaphylaxis. I mean, that's an understatement. It just starts – it attacks you. Your body goes into – you know, it starts taking over. And I was one dose away from not being here.
Yeah.
Jeez. And so anyways, that was good. They had to debride my leg after, you know, the doctor, Dr. Lore, he saved my life. Infectious disease doctor, amazing doctor, saved my life. He came, you know, and then all of a sudden my leg started drying up. And then they had to debride it. There was this doctor that was debride. He's a great, great guy. I mean, really good personality. But he told my wife and brought her aside. He said, you need to quit sneaking food to, you know, your husband.
Really?
Yes, he did.
And oh, my gosh. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. He said, you need to quit. You need
so
to quit.
So he blamed Jess?
He blamed Jess, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, your husband's sneaking food. You know, she goes, no, I don't. And she goes, well, he's sneaking food. She goes, no, he's not.
Yeah.
He goes, well, yes. She goes, listen, I do the grocery shopping. I do all of that. Don't tell me
Right. What I don't even doing, crap into the house.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't a binge eater. Never have been.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a meat and potato. I love eating. Who doesn't? Everything's built on food. My mother, you know, she was like, anything, you know, if you're in a bad mood, eat something. If you're
that
in a good
your
mood,
mom's
eat
love
something.
Language.
Yeah, it was her love language. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's not that it's good, but that's what it is that, okay, hey, you're having a bad day. Come on, eat something. And she would cook at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what I'm saying? And it was based on, you know, eating. Everything was eating. My mom was a great cook. She put on
a
spread.
Well, they call the kitchen the heart of the home. Yeah, so it isn't just your mom. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, well, the heart of the home became my belly of the home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, but the thing that was there, but that's what the doctor did. He said to her that, no, he's sneaking food. He was convinced. Dang. And I said to him, I said, do you live with me? I'm like, do you live with me? He says, no. I said, well, how could you even, you know, even say that?
Yeah.
That you don't even know. And that has to change, Carrie. I don't care.
Absolutely.
What anybody says, a doctor wants us to listen to them and wants to take it. They have the Hippocratic Oath that they take in order to protect us and what our rights and what we and what they don't, they will not do that for an obese person without listening to them and say, hey, what's going on? Just like, you know, these TV shows, you know what I'm saying? My 600-pound life, you know, they'll go there and then you look at you. You don't eat. You need to you didn't, you know, do this and make it feel like that we're a fat kid trying to steal cake all the time.
And it's their job to slap it out of your hand.
And it's sick. I'm done with it, Carrie.
And
I mean,
can I just tell you that if anybody treated John Q. Public like that for any other reason besides obesity, their protected patient rights would be violated. They could a person could take it to the media. They'd have a case for legal action. The medical facility would issue a public apology, and the professional who treated you that way would be required to undergo sensitivity training. That doesn't happen in the obese community. They're talked to with contempt. People act like they're disgusted. Jeez. And it's my opinion that respectful and effective treatment by medical professionals is seriously lacking. It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful.
So think about this. This is going to be a few part series, right, Carrie?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do. I want you to answer this, okay?
Okay.
Now, you said something about the doctors, okay?
Yeah.
And you had this in every aspect. Now, know me in that working, you know, with me and knowing, okay, of things that the people that we've talked to and people that are members of the obesity revolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the million-dollar question. Is everybody that's obese, are we obese because of just eating so much food?
No.
And the thing is, and I want you to go into it, are we just there because, and I want you to think about this before you say anything right now.
Okay.
Are we there because of just our eating and that we don't care about ourselves and that we eat 10,000 calories and that we don't want to do anything for ourselves?
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.